good evening, and welcome to this holiday weekend edition of the KRFP Evening Report for July 3rd, 2026. On June 19th, more than 300 people showed up for the Pullman Moscow Juneteenth celebration at Pullman's High Street Plaza. The MC was Assistant Professor of Black Music in America and Social Justice Daryl Singleton, otherwise known as Doc D. Doc D spoke about how the news of the liberation of the slaves took so long. The keynote speaker was Washington State University assistant women's basketball coach Camille Williams, who spoke about the need for education, about how the lack of information that freed slaves endured has parallels in today's social environment. We'll hear those speeches and more in this special program.
I'm here with Chioma Heim. Chioma Heim. She is lead organizer for the Juneteenth event for Pullman Moscow. Chioma, why do you think a continued dialogue about Juneteenth and its history is important?
I think it's important because there's a lot of people that think that this, that in fact quoted from an unfortunate comment on social media this morning. Someone said they feel like that Juneteenth hijacks American history. And to hear that is really dismissive of everyone's experience in this country and how we all have different experiences as far as access to the freedom that is held very sacred here, supposedly. But for some reason, if someone doesn't access it at the same time, in the same way, that piece is considered irrelevant and takes away from maybe the dominant way, primary way, original way of how people access freedom here. And that's not the case. We all access it differently at different times, you know? And if we celebrate and understand how we all did, we understand the fullness and the richness of our history. I don't know why you only want to know part of the story, you know? Like, and just because it's not your particular story doesn't mean that it's not relevant.
For this year's Juneteenth celebration.
I just want people to walk away with a little bit of information or a feeling that they can then transfer to someone else that maybe might not be convinced that this is just as much of a valid piece of history as any other here in this country.
My name is Charisse de Guzman. I am a licensed mental health therapist at Counseling and Psychological Services at Washington State University.
And you're on the Juneteenth committee.
Yes, I am on the Juneteenth committee.
Okay. Why do you think a continued dialogue about Juneteenth and its history is important?
Because I think it's important for us to have a complete history, everyone's history. I think it adds to better conversations, better relationships, when we can openly talk about the things that have happened in our country, good, bad, and otherwise.
Yeah. There are some questions I really want to ask you. Can you share a memorable moment that shaped your commitment to Juneteenth? Juneteenth is considered by some the African American Independence Day or America's Second Independence Day. What might some of the benefits from raising awareness and understanding of this observance? What are the benefits of this observance?
Well, I think it's an early indication or early representation of how lack of information, lack of knowledge gives you less power. I mean, the more that we know, the more power we have. And not to be used in a way that's, you know, demeans others, but, you know, for them to have not known that they were free for so long, that speaks, of course, of a bigger issue. But
enslaved people, right?
Yes,
in Texas, right?
Yeah, enslaved people, you know, they didn't know that they were free, and people kept that information from them. And so I look at all these, you know, these young kids out here, and, you know, sometimes they don't know about their history. You know, I learned very little when I was in school, so I can only imagine what they're learning now. But so, you know, I just think it's important for us to have information so we can make informed decisions. You can only make an informed decision if you know the whole thing.
I'm here with Moscow Mayor Haley Lewis.
That's right. Hi, Haley. Tell me, what brings you out here today to Juneteenth?
Of course, it's a it's a very cool situation that we have a long overdue holiday that is new to the calendar in my lifetime, and I think it's new to the calendar for a lot of people. And I'm excited that Moscow Human Rights Commission has been involved since 2021 when it was recognized as a federal holiday. I'm glad we're at a place where we can partner and alternate locations with Pullman. But I think the coolest opportunity before us is this doesn't have to turn into another Memorial Day situation where it feels like it's just a three-day weekend or an occasion where you kick up your heels and the banks are closed. It's a very cool experience to be part of a newly recognized, long overdue, but newly recognized holiday that is both a celebration of how far we've come, but also it's very important we acknowledge how much work is still left to be done. So I'm here to hopefully speak a little bit to that, and I think a lot of that responsibility does fall to white people, to be honest. And there's a lot of unlearning we have to do, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and I don't think that's a bad thing, because growth comes from discomfort. Growing pains are real.
How's everybody doing out here on this wonderful, shady High Street Plaza kind of afternoon? Good deal, good deal. This is Crimson Tides, by the way. I didn't know so many of them were going to show up. This is my world music ensemble from Wazoo, plus a couple extras. So yeah, give them a hand. So when I saw them, I was like, nah, we got to play something before we get started. And what no better way to start this afternoon than with what we might call a drum call. So before we go any further, how many of y'all live in Pullman? How many of y'all have ever been to an event at WSU? So you know what's coming next. We acknowledge that we are standing on the homeland of Native peoples. We extend gratitude to the indigenous people that called this place home since time immemorial. And this should be read in all places all over the world where colonialism has had effect. Right? We extend gratitude to the indigenous people that call this place home since time immemorial. We recognize that it is our responsibility to build relationships with the indigenous people to ensure the integrity of tribal voices. And again, that is a worldwide statement. A worldwide statement. We also pledge that these relationships will consist of mutual trust, respect, and reciprocity. We extend our deepest respect for and gratitude towards these original and current caretakers of this region. We affirm indigenous sovereignty and honor all tribes, and we honor all peoples, and we honor all humans. All right? We acknowledge that the dispossession of indigenous lands was often taken by coercive and violent acts and the disregard of treaties. For that, we extend our deepest apologies. We owe our deepest gratitude to the native peoples of this region and maintain our commitment towards reconciliation. We also humbly acknowledge the profound trauma of forced labor endured by Black Americans whose labor and sacrifices have been integral to the advancement of our nation. Can somebody say jumpstart? Jumpstart on the economy for 400 years? I'm sorry, I digress. Enslaved and exploited African Americans built the foundation of the U.S. economy and infrastructure, fought for civil rights, and continue to shape our culture in countless ways. We are committed to confronting the legacy of systematic oppression and working towards a more just and equitable future, to which you all are contributing by being here today. So give yourself a round of applause. My name is Doc D. I am a music teacher at Wazoo and musician about town and do other things. And we want to welcome you to the 5th annual Pullman Moscow Juneteenth celebration. The fifth annual. 10 years ago, would you even have thought that this would be a thing? Right? Wow, 10 years ago was before COVID. Ooh. Moving on. For those of you that don't know what Juneteenth is about, I'm going to put it all in a nutshell. It's about information of freedom. It's about people who didn't have information about their freedom and people who sought to keep them enslaved and to squeeze as much out of them as they could before they got caught. That's what Juneteenth was about. Juneteenth is not when the slaves were free. And we're not even going to get into the fact that the Emancipation Proclamation is not all that everybody thinks that it was. I encourage you to educate yourself. Educate yourself on how freeing the slaves was a wartime strategy and not necessarily a heart set. Okay? So please make sure you educate yourself about that. But in 2 years, lots of months. I always get the dates mixed up when I'm on the mic. But a long time after the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed into law, the slaves in Texas were still slaves. The people were still enslaved. And so when the Union arrived in Galveston, Texas, and came to enforce the Emancipation Proclamation, then people found out, what? What you mean for how long? What? And there was celebration, and we're still celebrating today. So again, give yourself a round of applause for being here. And it's a celebration for everybody, right? Because we all need to know about our information, how we got to where we are, right? And we all need to know everything that we're entitled to. Does that make sense? Right? I mean, I'm not. If you're in the insurance business, I'm not hating on the insurance business. But how many people have you didn't know what you were entitled to until you got to the 5th phone call? Now you understand. Now multiply that across months and years, and that's how the slaves felt in Texas. All right, does that make sense? Okay, now it hits a little bit home when we can relate it to something, right? Okay, we have educational posters around. We have a wonderful 3D step and repeat that you could take pictures in front of. A balloon wall. Don't get too close or it won't be. All right, so please make sure you take a picture over there. All right. We have fans and educational bookmarks. Some of you all are fanning yourselves right now, taking advantage of that. Those are giveaways on the chairs. And we will have food. Food! I'm not going to ask how many people are here because they saw that word. By J-Dubs Catering, always, always, always jam. We got red velvet cupcakes. Thanks to the University of Idaho Black Studies area. And by the way, red velvet cake, that's a traditional food in celebration of Juneteenth and other things in the African-American culture. Got music. Everybody give it up for DJ Duke. Let me tell you this. DJ Duke. He's back there doing a thing. Drum circle, courtesy of your MC. Another hand for Crimson Ties. And my son. I was going to do an incredibly dad thing, but I'm not going to do it. How many of y'all want me to do it? And he's single. And he's got a job and a car and everything. That is a dad thing. I that's not something I normally do, but I just felt, why not? I promised him something funny would happen if he showed up. And there it is. I tell black people this all the time. I say, if you were white, you'd be red. We're going to have a martial arts demonstration. There's a name on here, but I'm going to say the real name. By Fox. Over there. From PATH, Protection and Total Health. I will be paying homage to historically black fraternities and sororities. We'll do a roll call a little bit later on. So if you're in the house, make sure you throw it up. And we got some speakers. We've got some speakers. Brian, is your... Brian.
There she is. She's right there. Camille's right there. She's like walking by the food.
Oh, she's here. Okay, I just want to see who is here. Don't look away. Don't look away, Camille. 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 Talking about you, Camille. 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 We're talking about you. Okay. She's like, maybe if I look away, he'll stop talking about me. We have some speakers. We have Camille Williams, WSU assistant basketball coach. We'll have a guy that does what I'm doing all the time. A student MC, Chance Shungu. He's all kinds of things. He's all kinds of things. We'll introduce him later. He's an officer. He's a scholar. He's a gentleman. He's just all the things. So we'll see him later. We got vendors, right? Vendors, University of Idaho Black Studies and English Department, Alternatives to Violence of the Palouse, Moscow Co-op, Swag Giveaways, Play to Score, over here in the corner over here, Terracotta Pottery Wheels, you can visit and ground yourself by using your hands, right? WSU African American Student Center and Black Student Union, Moscow Human Rights Commission, Layton County Historical Society, Layton Whitman County Recovery Centers, the Inland Oasis, United Auto Workers 4591 and WSU GPSA. We've got the center and we've got IAC. What is IAC?
They're not here.
All right. IAC is with us in spirit. Is that okay? Here, give it up for the spirit. Come on. All right. So, moving right along, we also have some VIPs. Is Haley Lewis in the house? We have Mayor Haley Lewis from Moscow, Idaho. All the way from out of state, y'all. All the way from out of state.
Had to cross state lines to speak freely about this. Only kind of kidding. No. What up, Vandals? Nice to see you guys. Glad you guys are here. We love, go Vandals. We love Vandals all around. Hello. I am so excited to be here. This is year five. I'm really excited for us to see movement and traction in terms of Moscow and Pullman sharing in the conversation for this. I love it. So, personal anecdote. So my beautiful black queer cousin grew up on the west side in Tacoma. And when my husband and I got married in 2022, yikes. Don't tell him I said that. If we got married in 2022, we got married at Dworshak. We rented a campground. And my cousin, yeah, we love it. My cousin's grown up coming to visit our grandparents in Bonner's Ferry. He's been to Moscow before. He's been to Pullman before. And when we told him we were getting married, he said he wasn't going to come because he wasn't going to feel safe. And it broke my heart. And but what struck me was, even though he's known me my whole life, and he knows I would never... I'd be very conscious in making sure that anyone, I don't think I'd be friends with anyone who would make him feel unsafe, first of all, but also I would make sure that the vibe was safe for everyone, that really made me sad. But I think for me, one of those things, it was a wake-up call for me, right? I mean, even being a white woman, it was important for me to understand that it's not for me to question what his experience is, and it wasn't for me to question if he was going to be safe or not. And there was nothing I could say to make him feel safe, right? So I'm paraphrasing something from the book's called Think Again by Adam Grant. And it's this idea of, like, when we are corrected, we are presented with new information, we have an opportunity to be less wrong. Being corrected, me learning that being anti-racist is different than not being racist was uncomfortable. Those are uncomfortable things for us to unpack. I do think it's on us to do that unlearning. But it also, just like growing pains are real, just like any, there's growth that comes from discomfort, but it was important for me to wrap my head around the idea that if we're holding each other accountable, this doesn't have to be a kind of holiday that only turns into something that we celebrate as a 3-day weekend with a barbecue, right? This is a really cool opportunity for our generation, because I think the average age in this plaza is probably around my age, I don't know. But it's a really cool opportunity, right? This doesn't have to be a holiday where we just forget why the banks are closed. Just like Valentine's Day isn't the one time you tell the people you love them, and you do the work year round. And so this holiday doesn't have to be a Valentine's Day. Juneteenth is also about a reminder for us to do the work. And remember, it's gonna be uncomfortable. There's some unlearning that we need to do. A lot of it is on people who are not black. It is not up to black people to teach us everything. It is on us to take the time to unpack these things and put in the time and have hard conversations. But being presented with new information doesn't have to be bad. It just means we can be less wrong, and being less wrong is all I can ask for. So anyway, thank you for being here. Thank you, Go Vandals. We love it. Thank you, Moscow Human Rights Commission. Thank you, Laetah County Human Rights. Thank you, Moscow Co-op, Inland Oasis, and the whole crew for being here. But thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Come on. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. You know, my mom used to talk about the difference between ignorance, and my mom was fancy. There's another word, nescience, right? And she said, ignorance is not knowing something. She said, nescience is dumb for meanness. Just dumb for meanness. That's what the old folk would say. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, yeah, it's going to be hard, right? It's going to be hard. But if you know the book exists, if you know the book exists, the responsibility is on each and every one of us to open the book. We can't say, oh, I didn't know it was in the book. If you know that there's a book and you choose not to read it, guess what? That's on each and every one of us. Right? So let's get educated. And I've been around the block a couple of times. I am blissfully much older than I look. I can't count how many times I've seen situations where there's two sides of a situation and neither one was understanding the other just because they never talked, just because nobody ever asked the question. Unfortunately, more people are interested in how we do our hair than they are in how we live. Black people, how many people have asked you about your hair? Whoa, you hear that? See, that's why he doesn't wear it long anymore. No, sir. No. 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 You can't. You don't get to claim that. You don't get to slide in on that one. All right, our next speaker, all the way from up Grand Avenue, from the City Hall on the Hill, our own Mayor Benjamin Francis.
Thank you, Dr. D. What, didn't Haley do great? Yeah, we love Moscow. I'm both a Vandal and a Coug. So, in fact, my wife was born in Moscow, so there's a lot of ties that are there. I really appreciated the story that she did, because it puts meaning to this. And as I was thinking about the Juneteenth, there were three thoughts that came to mind just for me as I was thinking about it. The first is, our work isn't done. And if you think we're celebrating our 250th anniversary of the United States, but it's still imperative that we are actively engaged in the direction of our country. And likewise, just because Juneteenth is now a national holiday, just because it's recognized, it doesn't mean the work is done and we can just coast on it. It's something that we still need to, we need to focus. We need to continue to work at it. The second is the value of each community member, and Haley, you know, talked about that, where we're in a time where at the state and federal level, there's a lot of tearing down of differences, as opposed to stepping up and understanding the value that unique differences bring to our communities, and understanding those differences, whether they're life experiences, whether they're culture, whether they're ideology. Each person comes together and makes our community so much better because they're in our community, and for us to see and value that. And I feel that as a part of this is really understanding that, and for us to work hard to, how can I better understand? And I love the conversations when someone, you know, talks about their life experience growing up and how that formed them, and because I can see how they're thinking about this problem that's before us in a different way. And in order for us to solve our problems, we really need to get people together that look at it from all different aspects in order for us to get to that best solution. Because if we only look at it one way, all of our issues, we're never going to get to the best solution for it. The third piece that I, as I was thinking about Juneteenth, is now's not a time to be silent. As a community, we can do better to support and to value all the members of our community. And that's something that I often see where people will talk about, well, this thing happened or this thing was said. And it's like, well, did you speak up? And they're like, no, I didn't. I said, but that's the piece, is what, as a community, we shouldn't wait for someone else to say something. If we see a concern, we need to speak up. We need to say something, and we need to get involved in how do we solve the issue and move it forward. We have great communities, both Pullman and Moscow, this region. There's great opportunity, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that have life experiences that we need to help them see the value of each person. We need to appreciate in that way. And so as a community, I think we're better because of our diversity. We're stronger because of our differences. And there's a value that we have for each person in our community. And that's something that's important. And as I think about Juneteenth, these are the things that were resonating with me. With that, Dr. D.
All right, good deal, good deal, good deal. By the way, I just want to say on behalf of the Pullmo, if you're part of the Pullmo Juneteenth Task Force, raise your hand. These are the people raising their hand right now, are people who helped put this event together. The goal was, when we started this years ago, I make it sound like it's so long ago, right? When we started this years ago, was to have it alternate between Pullman and Moscow. And it had been in Moscow for the last few years, partially because we felt like Moscow needed it to understand these things. And so, but also, it just worked out that way. But I want to tell you how thrilled we all are to get this kind of crowd to run out of chairs, right? That's the point. So please give yourself a round of applause for showing up, right?
You're listening to the 2026 Moscow Pullman Juneteenth celebration held at High Street Plaza in Pullman. More than 300 people showed up for the event. We'll be back in a moment.
KRFP is sponsored by Mikey's Euros, specializing in Greek and Middle Eastern cuisine, such as Euros, falafel, hummus, and tabbouleh, located at 527 South Main Street in Moscow.
KRFP is also sponsored by
Hodgins Drug and Hobby of 307 South Main Street in Moscow. Hodgins features a pharmacy, educational toys, and hobbies. Hodgins also sells and services hearing aids. You can call Hodgins at 208-882-5536. KRFP supports progressive values, including multiculturalism and environmentalism.
Don't touch that dial. You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night, so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
You can listen to the radio.
Listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
Radio,
you got it right.
Community radio. Listen,
you
give a little listen to the radio.
Radio Free Moscow.
Fight back radio. It's 90.3 on your radio dial. Fight back.
Thanks for tuning in. And thanks for your support. So keep on listening and listening and listening.
Fight back.
You're still here.
Radio.
Still here.
Fight back.
This is Hell, and I'm the Bitter, Blind, Broke, Gap-Tooth radio show host Chuck Mertz, who tells you that right here on KRFP, Radio Free Moscow, 90.3 FM, and KRFP.org at 11 a.m. each and every Sunday morning. This is Hell has been manufacturing dissent since 1996, bringing listeners like you the news that scares the news as an alternative to alternative radio, independent from independent media, and KRFP is one of only a few outlets around the world that supports our work. In today's political climate, that support is more important than ever to fight against the damage done by corporate-controlled right-wing media that has taken over the public's airwaves. In the past year, This Is Hell has talked about issues you will not hear on corporate or even public radio, like neoliberalism, feminism, sexism, racism, conservatism, cannibalism, and the meaning of infinity. If that's the kind of programming you want to hear, see you on Sunday morning.
KRFP, Moscow.
All right, next up, somebody, I don't even remember how I met her, but I'm sure there was some kind of interesting story there. I don't even remember. It's okay. Anyway, over the years, we've been, again, making it sound like it's been 25 years, right? But it feels like that, right? We're good with home folk, right? So over the years, we've been able to collab on a lot of things. We've seen each other not just on campus, not just doing what she does, not just doing what I do, but collaborating in community kinds of things. And so we are honored to have Miss Camille.
Hello, everyone, and happy Juneteenth, everybody. Hey, I'm so glad to be here, and I have to thank the Juneteenth Commission as well for the Pulmo to invite me here to speak to you all on this wonderful day, beautiful day that it turned out to be. And so I want to skip probably the first half of my speech, thanks to Dr. D. He's given us the history of it. But there are some very good points, I think, that need to be emphasized, especially on a day like today. So let's get started. I want to make sure that we understand that this day is not just of remembrance, but it's of rejoicing, right? We can rejoice on this day. June 19th, they put June and 19th together, and that's how they came up with Juneteenth, right? And it became a federal holiday, 2021, for many, many reasons. But as was mentioned already, today, June 19th, Galveston, Texas, Union Major General Gordon Granger arrived to announce and to enforce, we have to keep that in mind, that the enslaved people of the Confederacy were free. This announcement, as was mentioned, came 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed by President Abraham Lincoln, January 1st of 1863. So I want to take you back a little bit. 1865, can you imagine if you put yourself in the shoes of the enslaver? They're the people that could read, right? Slaves couldn't read. So here comes these troops from the Army, troops that were both from the 13th Army Corps and the United States Colored Troops Corps, both of them arriving together, marching along. There's about 2,000 of them. And here's, you put yourselves in their shoes. They can read. They're posting all of these notices around the city, and they read this: the people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with the proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. And it continued to go on, right? So, of course, there was a shock. There could have been some resentment, like, what's going on? How could they show up here to enforce this, right? There could be some defiance in their compliance to the order. There could be a lot of different things going through their minds, right? But we have to imagine, back in 1865, we also have to put ourselves in the shoes of the enslaved. They couldn't read. So you've got these soldiers that showed up. There's got to be a commotion, a rumbling, like, what's really going on? So they had to trust their enslavers to read the post to them, to understand it, and also the troops. It was by word of mouth that they began to understand. We talk about the big celebration. The celebration started off very quiet. You got to understand who these people were. They were in fear, right? In a lot of ways. So a big outburst, big celebration, probably wasn't their initial reaction. There probably was some inner celebration before it was outward, right? And then we also have to put ourselves in the shoes of the troops, especially the colored troops. Can you imagine coming, arriving, showing up to enforce this emancipation, and you're looking across from your counterpart who was enslaved for 2.5 additional years? Can you imagine the pride? Can you imagine how they might have felt? There's so much engulfed in this day on all sides. And all sides played a tremendous part. The ripple effect didn't just stop in Galveston, okay? It rippled all the way from there, all the way to adjoining cities, all the way throughout Texas. People learn in all kinds of ways, as I mentioned, by word of mouth. And as that happened, that's when the celebration spread and became joyous, and people became more outward in their celebration. There were block parties, there were church gatherings. The churches were part of the biggest liberation of this act that happened. There were dances, there were community gatherings, just like we're doing today. And everybody joined together in celebration. And the natural reaction and the joy that was had of the resiliency of our ancestors was felt. That's the most important thing, of the unimaginable circumstances that they had to endure. That's what was the most important day. So it was like a second Independence Day. It was a second Independence Day for them. So you can imagine on July 4th of 1865, it hit different. It was a different type of feeling for them. I want to talk a little bit about not just what happened or what is happening on this day. I want to talk a little bit about one pivotal question that perhaps came up during this time, which I know went through several minds of the three different counterparts that we talked about. And that is, what's next? Okay, I'm free. Okay, they're free. Okay, there's a people that are free now. So what's next? What happens now? What do we do? And what do we do about it? And that's where this message I would like for you to take in for today, and that you all can be a part of, is the what's next. Change. The first thing is change. Change, although inevitable, is one of the hardest things to do. It's hard. No one wants to change. No one likes to change, and especially if they're forced to change, right? But changes needed to be made, okay? And that's why we had to endure the civil rights movement and Jim Crow and voting rights, which are still going on, and the systematic red lines and the red tape and all of those things that were intended to oppress. But I want you to keep in mind what it also did. It also created allies that emerged from all of those instances. People who joined the fight and looked around to join hands and join forces on all of these different instances and circumstances. And I want you to understand that that's who you are. That's who you are today. Look around you. You don't have to stare at me. I know I have the microphone and I'm talking to you, but look around you. Look at the faces. Do you recognize everybody who's here? Do you know everybody who's here? But if you don't, you should introduce yourself, because you are here, you're an ally. You want to embrace change. You want to impact change. You're what's next in the changes that have to be made. I see young faces, I see senior seasoned faces, which is wonderful, but understand that it's all, you're all important in that cause. But it doesn't stop there. I want you to also understand that what's next is community. And I know that's already been talked about. And right now, you are going to participate in what we demonstrate as community. As this yarn is being passed around, I want you to understand that together, we can accomplish things more than if we were divided. You guys have all heard the saying, it takes a village, right? It takes a village. We usually say that to children. It takes a village to raise a child. But I would also argue that it takes a village to educate with truth. Put the real story, the true story in our education. It takes a village to have resilience and perseverance and the unbroken spirit of fighting for justice. It takes a village to do all of that. And community understands that liberty was always required a struggle. There was always a struggle in that liberty. So community, you're willing to exercise your civil power by being here today. You're willing to support the cause and invest in people who can stretch the Black community. You're here today to close that gap of any oppression that is between us, of any wealth gap, of anything that stands in the way. There is power in numbers. And look at the numbers here today. Look at the numbers here today. We have power by showing up and doing what we are doing best, and that is standing for what is right. Standing for something, or you'll what? You will fall for anything. I know you guys all know that, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to fall for anything. So, community is what's next. Let's continue to grow this community. All right? All right. Another thing that's next. Hold on to your yarn. Hold on to it. Hold on to it because you're a part of the community. And if you're by it and you want a piece of it, go on and grab onto it. I see you want a piece. That's fine. But what else is next is culture. What's next in unity is not erasing culture, but embracing an appreciation of cultural differences, honoring our culture and having dignity with it and mutual respect. Culture, we talk about it all the time, especially in athletics. It's how we do things. It's our beliefs and our values. It's our behaviors and our internal convictions. All of those things that show up on the outside is our culture. Guess what? It's evident on your face if you don't know it. It's evident. And people are going to see it. I have to say this. This is not on here. But I walk around town sometimes, and I can tell if somebody wants to greet me or not. I can tell. And I don't know if you do. But as an ally or as a people, we should say hello anyway. Why do we just walk on by with no greeting at all? That's a culture. Not having a greeting, not having a smile on your face, a presence on your face, and understanding that you are walking by another human being, no matter who they are, no matter where they're from, no matter what they look like. Say hello. Say hello. How you doing? You good? Yeah, we in Pullman. We're in Moscow. It doesn't matter, does it? No, it shouldn't. That's culture. And we need to change, be a part of that what's next in our culture. Would you agree? Amen. The last thing, and because I know you're hungry, so I'm going to try to wrap this up, is common. And that's why you're holding, some of you are holding, and some of you, it'll get to it. Oh, we're out of it. Are we out of the yarn? No, you just tired. Okay. No problem. But I think you can kind of see where this is going, right? Common is the thread between all of us. There is something. There's something in each and every one of us that we have in common. Juneteenth belongs to all Americans. It's not just a black story. It's not just what happened on that day. It's a shared story between all of us. Our ancestors prayed for this day. And so now it's here. And together, as you hold that thread, there is a commonality between each and every one of you. Now, some of you might be holding thread that has a little tension in it. You don't know who's on the other side. Am I right? You don't know, right? There might be some that look across and see someone with a smiling face that says, yes, I'm in this with you. We are woven together. And that's what this represents, is that we have something that is in common. We have common ground. We have common interests. And we can do this together because we are woven together. Now, some of you may have seen the Obama Presidential Center being dedicated the other day, right? Yep, on the south side of Chicago. I watched that, and I couldn't help but to say that it is opening today, how fitting, on Juneteenth, right? But Obama's wife, Michelle, said something very interesting about his character. And I want you to keep that in mind as you hold this thread. She said that he was a man with stubborn optimism, unflinching courage, dazzling brilliance, unpretentious decency, ferocious work ethic, an absolutely unshakable moral fiber. What about you? Do we have some of those same character traits in us? Are we stubbornly optimistic? Are we dazzling with brilliance? Are we ferocious in our work ethic? Are we unflinchingly, it's hard to say, courageous? Are we demonstrating those same things? Because that is what this thread represents. And to those who don't have it, because you are here. And of course, Obama summed it up when he said, This is a celebration of unity that reminds us of common humanity and strengthens the bonds of trust. We do this illustration to help you understand that the webbing that we have together, it may look chaotic to us. It may not look like the perfect web, but it looks perfect from above. From an aerial view, and in God's eyes, when he looks down on this type of unity, he smiles. He's happy. Because this is a web of individuals that are webbed together for a common purpose. I want to share this scripture with you that says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom. There is liberty." And I know from what I've read that where two or more are gathered, the Spirit is there also. So he's with us. He's with us right now. And with him, there is liberation. And that is what our ancestors on that day, Juneteenth of that day in 1865, that's what their hearts leaped for joy with. Their prayers were answered, and they had instant liberation that they always dreamed of. So each and every one of you, and especially you that are holding on to your thread, I want you to think about the tension in that thread and do an examination, a self-examination. Look at yourself and look at each other. What is it that you need to be what's next? What do you need to grow? What do you need to do different? What is it that you need from above to help you? Each person is here to write a new chapter. Each person is here in that chapter. Every single day can be different. Each person here can build a legacy all by yourself, a greater tomorrow. We're building it with each other, one day at a time, woven together. You are what's next. Thank you. Appreciate each and every one of you. God bless you. You guys can just put the string or you can cut it. But happy Juneteenth. Thank you, and go forward. You are what's next.
You're listening to the 2026 Moscow Pullman Juneteenth celebration held at High Street Plaza in Pullman. More than 300 people showed up for the event. We'll be back in a moment.
Programming on KRFP is brought to you in part by One World Cafe, specializing in craft coffee, fresh baked pastries, artisan sandwiches, weekend brunch, wine, beer, and cider on tap. One World Cafe has a web calendar for upcoming live events and a campus location in the Janssen Engineering Building. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by
Fiddler's Ridge Farm, a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving the Palouse since 1992. Fiddler's Ridge features annuals, perennials, trees, natives, and soil amendments. 1001 Fiddler's Ridge Loop in Potlatch. 208-875-1003.
And this music is made for dancing. So it's okay if you dance. In fact, it's made for that. Even if you just kind of dance in your spot, I don't know if y'all, everybody saw Hitch, this is where you live. Because where there is the drum, there is community. Because where there is the drum, there is community. The community connected by threads. The thread of the beat. The thread of the beat. The thread of the beat. The beat of your heart. The beat of our hearts. Every human heart has that beat. The thread of the beat. The beat of your heart. Every human heart has the same beat. The skin is what faces outward, but the heart is what's inside. The skin is what faces outward, but the heart is what's inside. And if you look deep, the heart can't hide. When you look deep, the heart can't hide. So feel the beat. Feel the beat. When you look at your neighbor and they look different, know that their beat is the same. Because if they're human, they have a heart. And if they have a heart, then they're a part. If they're human, then they have a heart. And if they have a heart, then they are a part. And you are a part. And we are a part. We all are a part. And we can't exist apart. So be a part. Hope somebody wrote that down. That was good. The other way because it wasn't what you were looking for, because you may not know that you needed, but you did.
That's right. No, that's just like my opening. No, that's perfect. So I got this really long, crazy story that you wouldn't believe anyway, but let's just start from the beginning. I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I grew up in Oxford, Ohio. In Oxford, I went to school with the KKK, with the Ku Klux Klan. So me and my two brothers, we went to school with them. And so my father being military, he said, you guys need to learn martial arts. So we started training when we were about 4 years old, right? And then it was like bi-weekly, we had to use it to protect ourselves, right? And that's what it started as, just physical expression to make sure that we weren't harmed. And it worked. But as we practiced, as we got deeper into the techniques, there was a detachment from
all of the racial slurs, from all of the put downs, that we can see value in ourselves, value in the development that we were doing. So instead of feeling kind of like I was in that mess, I kind of felt like I was above the mess. And I had to deal with that until I was about 13. But that had also created a pattern of repetitious progress. And then so after that, I was teaching at WSU. I was teaching self-defense when I was 16. You know, UFC came out when I was teaching. And MMA, all that stuff is great. But when you have real situations, people use weapons. You're outnumbered. There's glass bottles. So real safety is kind of goes to a different mindset. So using that pattern of progress, I learned Chinese, right? And then that was my major at Western Washington University. And I moved to Taiwan, where I began training the style of the Chinese Secret Service for the next 17 years. That's where my kids were born. They're around here in the crowd somewhere, right? And it was such a blessing because, more than just, like I said, more than just the physical aspect, I started to find the root, how people who are attacking, who are lashing out, even if it's just verbally. Because the situation that we're in right now in America politically, there's a lot of lashing out. There's a lot of people who don't really have peace of mind, and they're just projecting. How can someone be so upset with you if they don't even know you? So they're just projecting things that they haven't dealt with. So what I'm doing is providing the service that was given to me in a much more detailed fashion. I'm talking 2,500 techniques, right, that can be customized to each person, their way of thinking, their experiences, their desires, their age. I have students now from 4 years old to 76. I think that's our oldest student that we have right now. So you can practice just moving meditation. You can practice real fitness. You know, I call it lethal yoga or self-defense. We have lots of weapons. If you enjoy that kind of stuff, I can turn you into Batman or a woman. All right. And right now we have six teams. So if you want information, my kids are handing it out. We have the table back here where you can watch a video and see it live. And yes, my job when I was in Taiwan, I was a rapper, just so you know. So we have a good relationship. Right. And but thank you so much for inviting me. I have video back there. It's hard to do a demonstration because you wouldn't see what it is. But if you want. Oh, girl. There's something I can show you that might be helpful. So if you want to do a movement with me, really simple for anybody, right? If you start to get kind of stressed out or something, I can show you something simple. You want to see something complex, we can step back there later on when I'm done with this mic. But right now, I'll put this down, just three breaths, and we do it slower and slower. And then exhale at the top. Then bring it back to your belly button one more time. Breathe in. As you reach the top, exhale a little slower. Last time, real slow, real slow. So breathe in slow. Exhale slow.
All right, thank you, Fox.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, I want to do a shout out to the Divine Nine, HBCU, Origin, fraternities and sororities, Zeta Phi Beta in the house. Call it out if you're here. Alpha Phi Alpha. Okay, Alpha's got a little something going on. What about the AKAs? Alpha Kappa Alpha. All right, what about those noobs? Kappa Alpha Psi. Okay, they're surrounding us, okay. Them Q Dogs, Omega Psi Phi. Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Oh, y'all don't know nothing about that. Phi Beta Sigma.
Sigma Gamma Rho Incorporated. Delta Sigma Theta. I know I saw at least one. And Iota Phi Theta. All right, those are fraternities and sororities calling the Divine Nine, originating from historically black colleges and universities. God, I don't want to assume that everybody knows what an HBCU is. All right, next up we have a WSU student, a vice president of black men making a difference, and so much more. That's what it says on the sheet here. So much more. Give it up for Chansey Tungu.
Can I have your name?
Everyone calls me Fox, but if you look
at the... Good evening, everybody. How are we doing? Is the food good? Good,
man.
And you instruct at WSU?
I do. Well, not at WSU. Right now, I have different locations. I'm over at Whitman Recovery, Lawson Gardens, Parks and Recs.
Oh.
Yeah. But here's my phone number. What's your name?
My name is
Raul. Where my family's from, you don't just name children, you name the future. Nobody knew which one was going to name, so they covered all their bases. I was born in Tanzania. My parents earned the degrees on different continents.
Appreciate it. Yeah. All right, yeah, you can say Fox, Robert D'Arnold. Robert D'Arnold, people can Google that. Fox is what people call me.
Fox or Foxy?
Okay, yep. Washington State University, studying computer science with a minor in mathematics. I carry a 3.5 GPA. So any tech people out there, you want to hire me next semester? So. I was the second person in this university's history to receive the Philip James Neal Award. I was a mentor for first-year students with the Compass Mentor Program. I'm an intern with the Voyland Engineering Program. I'm the current vice president of Black Men Making a Difference, and this fall, I became the president of the Black Student Union. Now, I do not say all this to impress you. It's also to brag. But I also say it because none of it was guaranteed. Every line was earned in a country where it was not built with me in mind, by people who had to argue the way into rooms that were never open. Now, I must be honest with you, because I am a man of integrity. Despite every accolade I just listed, my proudest achievement of college so far has been and will always be my intramural soccer championship. I'll let that sit with you, because I know there's somebody back here who we beat them in the finale. Yep, thank you, it's right there. I'm a President's Choice winner, I'm a Vibes team leader, and the thing I bring up here unprompted in interviews and family functions and at my funeral, as always will be intramurals. Here's why that matters, though. Joy like that, joy that is loud and unserious, take up space joy, was not always safe for people that look like me. Someone out there had to fight for the right to be taken seriously and the right to be ridiculous at the same time. The second part does not get talked about enough. Which brings me to today. You know the history, June 19th, 1865, Galveston, Texas. Word finally arrives that slavery has ended 2.5 years after it was supposed to be over. 2.5 years of people working on land that they should have already walked off because the truth took time to get to them. Here's what I keep coming back to. Juneteenth is not the day freedom arrived. It is the day people find out it was supposed to have already arrived, and then had to build it the rest of it by themselves with no instruction. The Emancipation Proclamation was a piece of paper. Juneteenth is what happens when real people take that piece of paper into real life. And freedom on paper and freedom in practice has never once shared the same address. Somebody had to keep making that trip, generation after generation, for over 160 years. So when I say Juneteenth never really happened, I'm not being poetic. I mean it. We are still in it. Every time somebody's the first in their family to walk into a room, first to graduate, first to lead, first to be trusted with something, that same trip is being ran one person at a time. I am one of those people. Hear me, because I need you to feel it. I am what became possible. Not because I did it alone, not because 160 years errand by themselves, I am what became possible. because people kept making that trip when I was born, closing a little more distance each time without ever getting to see how the story ended. And what I want to show you is what the distance looks like closing today, because it is not abstract. It has a name people get nervous around. Privilege. I have privilege. Real privilege. Not the kind where nothing is ever hard for me, but the kind where the hard things I deal with are small. I have the privilege of walking to a campus and never wondering if I'll be let in, not by law or by anyone's permission. I have the privilege of complaining about club meetings running long when gathering a group used to be something that you could be punished for. Our grandparents did not have the same small problems. Small problems are privileges. Boring problems are privileges. And yes, I still deal with ignorant people. That has not disappeared. But here's the privilege that is hiding inside that too. When somebody says something out of pocket to me, I get to say something back, out loud, and to their face. And then I get to walk away and go to class. That right there, the right to stand up for myself and to keep my life exact as it is, has not always been like that. People bled for that. Now it just comes to the standard issues with me. I am not the end of that story, though. It's my turn to run the relay. We have always been in a battle, different decade, different names, but the same battle for the same thing, is freedom. Your grandparents fought their fight in their fields. Your grandparents fought theirs in courtrooms and on the streets. My parents fought theirs across two different continents just to get me here. Nobody ever fully wins it outright, but it just gets handed off, generation to generation, to whoever is standing the closest to the front. Right now, that is us. We are on the line. We are at the front. So with every mentee I sat with on campus, every freshman who walks into campus this fall and sees somebody who looks exactly like them standing at the front, that's me running my leg of the race that started in a field in Texas in 1865 and never once stopped moving. It is our turn now. Freedom on paper and freedom in practice still do not share an address, but the distance keeps closing a little more. Every generation, every person willing to make that trip, every generation makes that distance a little bit more. I intend to live that distance a little bit shorter than it ever has been. Happy Juneteenth, everybody.
All right. Shoma has a few things to say.
Thank you, Dr. First, thank you. So yes, my name is Shoma Heim, and I, of course, a Pullman resident, work at Washington State University, but most importantly for today, I had the privilege of working on this event with a lot of wonderful people so that we can be here today to celebrate Juneteenth. And I know we've gotten the history of Juneteenth, but this is so beautiful. I grew up in Pullman. I didn't know what Juneteenth was, and now I'm standing here as an adult, being able to spread knowledge and information about this holiday that really does allow us to understand the fullness of freedom and access to freedom and everyone's path to freedom. I've had to do a lot of talking about Juneteenth recently and the significance of this holiday and even validating it for those that feel like this is not a holiday that should be celebrated. I've had to let them know that just because people access freedom a little bit differently doesn't mean that it should be omitted. It doesn't mean that it's not important. It doesn't mean that it's not our celebration of freedom, even if it might not have been your path to freedom or your ancestors or your lineage path to freedom. So I am so glad to see different people, faces from different places here to celebrate with us today. So I just want to say that, but I'm really here to say thank you also to everyone that put this together. So first off, I wanted to say thank you to the mayor of Pullman, Francis, and also the Moscow mayor. Oh, she left, but thank you for being here. That means a lot. So if you guys give them a round of applause for being here and showing their support of this event. Oh, there he is. There's Francis. Of this event and this holiday. So first, I want to say thank you to them. Promote Pullman, LLC. I wanted to thank them as well, because what's happening right now is that there's also the Twilight Market, or the, I think it's called Twilight Market, or the Starlight, thank you, Starlight Market, and they allowed us to come in and be part of this event, despite the fact that they have their market happening, which is over by the old Thomas Hammer. So please go and visit them. They started at 6 o'clock, and there's a lot of wonderful little shops and small businesses that you can support. And yeah, like I said, they allowed us to use some of the space and latch on to their event. So I am very grateful for them for doing that. Palouse Edge is a nonprofit group that I'm also on the board for. We have some Edge members here. And this is really important for us to be part of this event and spread cultural awareness. And so this is one of our major events. And so, yeah, thanks to Palouse Edge, Moscow Human Rights Commission, the WSU African American Student Center, the Multicultural Student Center, WSU Crimson Ties, Latah County Human Rights Task Force, Terracotta. So they had the pottery wheels for us to just be able to ground ourselves and use our hands and create. And so if you haven't done that yet, please go over there. But thank you so much for allowing us to do that. The chairs that you're sitting in, the tables that we're using, were donated by Unitarian Universalist Church of the Palouse. So that was a cost that we didn't have to pick up because of their gracious kind of donation. University of Idaho Black Studies, who had the red velvet cupcakes? Those were good. They smell good. I haven't had one yet, but they smell really good, and I will definitely dive into one of those in a second. But that, again, is one of those staples of Juneteenth, the red velvet, and so we thank them for bringing those and paying for those. Our keynote speakers, preparing a speech, even me just doing impromptu right now, thank yous, is nerve-wracking. So imagine having to speak to a crowd about such a pivotal point in history, and being able to make sure that people leave here with little pieces of education that they can put forward. So thank you to them. We have a photographer here, Henry, somewhere. He was snapping pictures. Oh, Henry. Oh, there you are. Wait, check my face. We have a videographer, Mateus, and so hopefully I'm saying his name right. Duke, DJ Duke, right? I text Duke this morning and I said, Duke, we just need joy today. Play music that just fills us with joy. And he did that. So thank you, Duke. I appreciate it. Our caterer, Joe, he's back there wiping his brow right now because all the hard work. The food was delicious, right? Again, I can smell it. I need to go get myself a plate. Our MC, Doc D, always bringing the vibes. I'm going to give him a minute so that everyone can give him his props. Shay is around here somewhere, and Rachel, they created the flyer that you guys have seen around. Peacekeepers, those that are in the vest, making sure that we're all just kept in a comfortable space. Appreciate you guys as well. Everybody on the planning committee, if you guys could like jump up really high if you're on the planning committee, or just like stand up or something, because again, this is can't be done with just one person. This has to be a group effort. All the volunteers that came to put up the chairs and the tables and the canopies, that takes a lot of work, and those that will help us break down. So please don't leave if you said you're going to help break down today. But yeah, it's just everybody. And then the crowd, the audience, the community, we appreciate you. And yeah, we'll see you guys again next year. Thank you so much. Spread the word of the importance of Juneteenth. Thank you.
All right, hope everybody, there's still a little bit of food left. DJ's gonna pump it up a little bit, probably get some line dance things happening for you. Hope you all have had a wonderful day, but most of all, I hope you have been educated so that you can celebrate with knowledge, right? And that's what it's all about, right? So please, as you move forward in life, don't ignore knowledge. Don't walk the other way when opportunity comes your way to learn some truth and to deal with it, because we'll all be better off for it. Make sense? All right, look at somebody next to you and say, you look marvelous. All right, now point at yourself and say, I look marvelous. Okay, she said she looked great. She said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I got it going on. That's what she said. All right, so we're going to let the DJ pump it up. Thank you kindly. Have a blessed rest of your Juneteenth. Don't forget to enjoy Starlight Market. If you want to hear some more freedom music, there'll be some Bob Marley and some other freedom music and Rico's later on. And you all have a wonderful rest of your day. Drum roll! Ah!
You've been listening to the 2026 Moscow Pullman Juneteenth Celebration held at High Street Plaza in Pullman. More than 300 people showed up for the event. That's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, and the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, plus the public affairs shows, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Brenda Cox assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.